a stranger now. It's easier to forgive strangers if you don't know anyone and they do something. Maybe they steal some of your money or whatever. It's like, well, maybe I'll just report them to the police and that's it, because you don't know them. So it's not a big deal at all. But when it's someone that you know, someone that you trust, maybe someone that you've helped, someone that is really close to you, when that person does something to you or betrays you like this guy's brother did to him, that's where it becomes really, really, really challenging. And it upset Esau so much that he didn't say, I'm going to tell my brother off. He says, I'm going to kill my brother. So in his mind, he was so hurt that the only thing that he thought could satisfy his desire in this instance was to kill his brother. Now, we might be wondering, come on, that is a bit extreme, man. Come on, your brother just did this. Now, this was Esau's case. For you and I, it might not just be a physical, we might not want to inflict physical injury on an individual, but we might kill the person in our heart. We might hold the person in our heart and it's like, I will never ever forgive that person. I will never ever forgive that person. They have hurt me so much. You have killed that person in your heart. I remember something came back to me, my mind, I think it was yesterday, thinking about this. And a memory came back to my mind. This was about 30 years ago. I was still quite young then. And I went to visit a family friend. We were in the same, they lived kind of like down the road from us. And she was kind of like about my age, where, you know, my mom, her mom were friends. And as we were visiting, I saw some pictures lying about, and I saw some on the wall. And these pictures that I saw in this area where they kept pictures had a picture of two people, but the face of one was ripped out. In those days, we didn't have selfies. It was like physical pictures. And the picture was, when two people like take a picture, we take a snap of two people. And the face of one was ripped out. And I saw another album, because we're going through albums, and I noticed that there are some pictures that had two people in there, but the face of one was scratched out, so you couldn't tell who the second person was. And I asked my friend, I said, what's up? And she told me that, that it's a long story. She now said her older sister, who was probably 10, 15 years older than we were then, was engaged to this guy. And they had been engaged for years, 3, 4, 5 years. Everybody in the family knew him to the extent that, they took loads of pictures together and everybody thought they were going to get married. And 5, 7 years down the line, this guy now turns up and dumps her. And he says, sorry. I don't know what the details. Sorry, I can't marry you anymore. I found someone else that I'm going to get married to. After about 7 or 10 years. And her older sister was so hurt that she killed the guy in her heart. Every memory of the guy, picture, whatever, she ripped it apart. Do you understand? She tore it apart. And this was something that happened years and years. I was like, so what's up with your sister now? Nothing to do with guys anymore. It was too much for her. In her heart, she killed this guy. And it happens to us at varying degrees. Maybe people have done things to us. Maybe not as grievous as this. People we trust. And in our hearts, we're like, okay, and we just determine in our hearts that that's it. This person never existed in my life. The only memory I have of this person is evil. And anytime their picture comes to mind, if you were at McDonald's and they brought you Happy Meal and you think about that, but you just lose your appetite. It's like, look, someone else have my Happy Meal. That the thought of that person begins to affect you physically because of the intensity of the hurt that you're feeling. That was Esau's case here. He was really deeply hurt. So we might say, well, I'm not like Esau. I don't think I hate anybody to the extent that when I think about them, I'm good. But at every point in our lives, we will come across this. And the thing is this, for some people, they will bury it down somewhere and not think about it, and they're going about their lives. But that thing is still there. Anytime they revisit that place in their lives, it just is like, man, this person should be thrown in jail and the key. But we don't say that sometimes. I remember there was a time that someone did something to me. And it was so, this was like, if I told you guys the story, you might just weep for me and say, Pastor, I was going to have this, the last coffee after church, but you can have it instead. You can have it instead. So many. And I remember this particular scenario for me, it was so painful. And when I found out what this person did, it's like someone, you helped someone, you did everything, you and all that. Then the person now does something that almost stabs you in the back. That's, if it was just a stab in the back, you would have been fine. This person now did something to the point that they committed an offense, then they impersonated me, said that I was the person that committed the offense. The police was looking for me. I didn't know the police was looking for me. And one day, I just got a letter that I should appear in court. I was like, court, what for? Court? Okay, I appeared in court in London, just to tell you. And I was like, what is happening here? And I said, okay, what, I entered the council. They said, the government's prosecuting lawyer, he looked at me and he said, how can I help you? They have an office. I said, I've been asked to come to court. What's happening? Oh, he said, I've been given, there's this offense that's been under my name. He said, do I have a lawyer? I said, lawyer for what? He smiled. He said, you're going to need a lawyer for this one. I said, lawyer? I don't think so. I didn't do it. What's all this about? He said, tell the judge that. But God just, it seems like I'm telling you something out of a movie, right? God just helped me that day. The lawyer now said, okay, are you sure you're not the one? I said, I'm in. He now said, okay, there's no problem. The police person who caught the person is in court. They're outside by the courtroom. You do something for me, which is quite unusual. Go to courtroom A and just walk along the corridor and come back here. I said, okay. And I did that. He now went afterwards. He says that he shouldn't be doing this. He now said, I should give him a minute. He now went and met the police person, said, the person who committed this offense, are they in this courtroom? And the police lady said, no, they're not here. The guy now said, thank you very much. He now comes back to me. And he says, for some reason, I don't think it's you, because the police person that caught this person, you walked past and she didn't say it was you. I said, and I said, who did this to me? The long and short story, they found out who did that to me. So I went, I appeared in the court, and the judge says, the prosecuting lawyer, it was like, I was, I, it was as like someone needs to pinch me. I'm sleeping. This has to be a dream. This is what you watch on MI5. And the judge says, okay, the prosecuting lawyer for the government is going to drop the case against you because there's been some evidence, they let me go. And I found the person. You know how God does his things? I found the person who did it. They found the person who did it. I went to the person's house. I said, did you do this? Oh, no, I didn't do this. I said, did you do this? The person now said, yes. I said, why? Why did you do this? This is someone that there was a time I had some money and I was supposed to pay my rent and I didn't because the person needed it so badly. This is someone that I said, why did you do this? Now, what did I do? When I got home, I didn't even know how I was going to tell my wife then. All she knew was that, man, I said, you better pray for me. I'm going to court today. Can you imagine me in jail? You know, it sounds really funny. So I said, is this how people end up in jail in England? Then my parents are in Nigeria. My friends, I'll be on the news. Do you get what I'm saying here? You're smiling. You guys were young then. I'll be on the news, confused. Now, if it had been someone who did this, who I didn't know, it was a dear friend. And when I went home, do you know what I did? I said, this life is... I mean, I can't even process this. And I was so, it was a combination of anger and annoyance. And in my mind, do you know what I said? I ripped them from my heart. Just like Esau did here. Just like Esau did. I didn't go and, attack them physically. But in my mind, I was like, this is extreme wickedness, undeserved. Never ever will I ever forgive them. They can do whatever they want to do, but they don't exist in my life anymore. Like Esau. So the first point I'm making here, the reason I'm saying this is, look, forgiveness is something that hits us in different forms. When we have to, no, not forgiveness, retaliation in different forms. So like Esau, in my heart, I was like, this guy, that's the end. Two more points and I'm going to close this morning. Time passes. Jacob runs away because he knows Esau wants to kill him. Jacob does, gets married somewhere. It's over 15 years now. Jacob now says, okay, I'm going to go back to where my father was. And as he was coming back, news got to Esau that your brother, that guy that swindled you, that guy that deceived your dad, destroyed your future, is coming back. And what did the Bible say here? Genesis chapter 32, verse 6. It says, when the messengers returned to Jacob, Jacob is the swindler, the guy that swindled his brother. He was coming back to town. He says, when the messengers returned to Jacob, they said, we went to your brother Esau, and now he is coming to meet you. With 400 men with him. 400 men, not even two or three. So Esau said, look, this my brother is coming back. I'm not going to go with a hit squad of 10 people or a hit squad of one person, or I'm not going to try and shoot him myself or kill him myself. I'm going to go with 400 men. I mean, 400 men for one person. Isn't that a bit too much? But in his mind, he said, everything that I have, I'm going to throw it at this guy. So the second point I want to make is this. Holding a grudge is quite expensive. It can cost you 400 men. He will have fed 400 men, paid their salaries, housed them. Why? Because he wanted to really get this guy. So the same way, keeping a grudge and what the Bible calls unforgiveness is a very expensive thing for any individual. For you and I, it might not be 400 men, but it costs the individual something. It costs the individual their health sometimes. You know, they said that there's some, this is what the doctors say, that there's some sicknesses that people have or some alignments that is as a result of the emotion of not being able to forgive. I know so many people that. I know someone that they were hurt so badly and they just couldn't forgive and they became ill to the point that they were so ill that the illness was dilapidated, they couldn't walk. And it's like, what's wrong with you? They said, there's nothing wrong with me, it's just my heart. Not heart, in my emotional. So unforgiveness has a big cost to the individual who is carrying it. It has a massive cost. In the case of Esau, it cost him 400 men. In your case, in my case, it might be something else. It might be our peace of mind. It might be that it halts our lives at a point where we can no longer move forward. The case of my friend's older sister, she couldn't move forward because this guy, I hope, you know, she was able to resolve her life 30 years ago. But every other man that came to her life after that, no, I don't even want to talk to you. So maybe the right guy came along eventually, but no. That's what cost her. So many things that unforgiveness can cause us. It can actually it can also interfere with the people that God sends to us to help in the future. So I was just thinking to myself that if, for example, I had drawn the line and I said, because this person did this to me, I'm not going to care for anyone, I'm not going to help anyone ever in my life again, then that would also interfere with the lives of the people around me. So it doesn't just stop with you. It spills into the lives of the people around you as well. So the second point I'm making this morning is that unforgiveness, even though it might be well deserved, even though the person who's committed the offense is guilty, even though you, the person who has been offended, had nothing to do with it, even though you were going about your normal business, if you hold unforgiveness, it's going to be very costly for you. And very costly for me. So the final point I want to make is this. So the first point I made is, when people take advantage of us, the natural reaction is to retaliate and not to forgive, which is rightly so. The second point I made is that it's for the person who is offended, the person who is not even guilty, holding on forgiveness is just too costly. So the third point now is this. How do I deal with it? How do I deal with the scenario where I want to actually kill the person who has offended me? Not literally. What they have done is so hurtful that I can't pretend. I just cannot pretend. How do you deal with it? How do I deal with it as a Christian? How do you move on? How do you do it? And that's the third point. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 and 22. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. So, three things I believe can help us to deal with forgiving people who don't deserve it, so that we can be free and we're not in the cage of these people or in the cage of the emotion of unforgiveness. Jesus said something. He says, when people forgive us, we should, so when people offend us, it should have no limit. He's not saying we should put ourselves out there all the time. I mean, if someone's a thief, you're not gonna, and they steal from you, when they come and visit you, you're not gonna put your money on the table. He's not saying put yourself out there. But Jesus says something quite interesting. He says, when someone offends you or me, we make a decision to forgive. That decision has nothing to do with our emotions. So even if you feel like killing that person literally, Jesus says, ignore that emotion and make a decision to forgive as the first step. So even if you don't feel like forgiving, he says, start from the place of decision. I'll mention three things. Start from the place of decision, even if it doesn't make sense. Even if the person should be shot. Start with a decision to say, you know what? I choose to forgive this person. The first thing. The second point is from Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. It says, bear with each other and forgive one another if anyone has a grievance against someone. It says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. So the second point is this. Why should you forgive? Why shouldn't you organize 400 people to go and relay someone on the street? Why should you forgive? Jesus says, because God forgave you as well. Bible tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we offend God, when we didn't even know God, and we said, God, I'm here. He says he forgave us. So Jesus is saying here, the reason we forgive is not because people deserve it. It's because he forgave us. And he says, because I've forgiven you a sin that you could never rectify. Forgive. Make the decision to forgive because of that. Then the last thing I want to mention tonight, I said tonight, this morning, about forgiveness, is from Psalm 147 and verse 3. Psalm 147 and verse 3. He says, he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. God says, look, once you make the decision to forgive, whether you feel like it or not, and you forgive because I have forgiven you, then the third thing is, God says, let me heal that pain. Because these pains are real. I remember in my own case at that point, that night when I confronted this individual and they admitted, I went home and I was so tired emotionally. I just could not believe it. I think it was about 4 or 5 in the evening. I just went to bed and I slept till the next morning. I couldn't deal with it. I think my wife will have been asking, are you okay? I'm like, you know, dear, I'm going to bed. To bed? I said, yeah, I'm just, I don't want to think. My mind is, when I wake up tomorrow morning, we can talk about this. But I woke up and I said, God, you have to help me with this. Help me to deal with what I'm feeling at the moment so I can live my life. I do not want to live in this emotion. I do not want to feel this way. I do not want to, you know? And God said, that's right. Give that pain to me. And as I did that, supernaturally, God just took the thing from me. And it's interesting that even after that, I even reached out to the person. I helped them to do even more things. I helped, you know. Although they knew that, you know. And I could do that because I let God touch me there. So this morning, we're just going to pray. And what I'd like us to pray about is an individual thing. Look into your life and reflect. I'll give us some time to reflect this morning. And we want to dig out every unforgiveness, every pain that we have buried down in our hearts against an individual, certain individuals, whoever it is. And this morning, I want to encourage us to just forgive them and ask that God should help us to forgive. Because if we do not forgive, we cannot live life at our best. We'll be like Esau that spent 16 to 20 years gathering 400 men, waiting to kill his brother. So we're just going to pray this morning. I'll just give us some time. And we want to pray and just say, God, we just need you to help us this morning. Father, we pray. I'm asking that every pain that we have felt that has been inflicted upon us by any individual, even the ones that we are not able to share publicly, the ones that nobody knows, things that have happened to us, people that have hurt us deeply, people who have violated our trust, people who have taken us for granted, people who have used us, taken advantage of us at one point or the other. Father, this morning I'm asking that you will help us to forgive them. And Father, I'm asking that you will help us to make that decision to forgive. Father, we're praying this in the name of Jesus. And Father, even for those that are not here that will listen to this message in the future, bring them to the place of forgiveness, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name. My Father, my King, I thank you for your message of forgiveness. Your word says that even while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us and forgave us our sins. Father, I'm asking for healing for everyone that is here and even those that will listen to this message who have been wronged, who have been hurt by one person or the other and who are finding it really difficult to let go. I'm asking that you will help each and every one of them to let go. Apart from that, I'm asking, Father, that you bring healing to every individual that has experienced this kind of pain, so that we'll be able to live our lives at our best. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.